Hello, I'm Charles Coves, Australasia's passion provocateur. Welcome to this week's episode of The Charles Coves Show. In this week's episode, I explore ideas on how to maintain your equilibrium if times are tougher for you than normal. If times are getting tougher for you. If times are tough, this means you have problems. And I discuss Einstein's well-known quote, "No problem can be solved from the same consciousness that created it." So how can you use this idea to raise your consciousness to handle your problems better, more elegantly, and to get rid of them? Stick around, I've got some ideas for you. This show is predicated on the formula SA plus P equals S, self-awareness plus passion equals success. Since 1993, when I left my successful legal career to become Australasia's passion provocateur, I have inspired, educated, provoked people, audiences large and small, in 8 countries around the world, to discover and pursue their passion. And that's the way to have a successful life. I've written 2 books, Passionate People Produce and Passionate Performance. I've worked with teams from big organizations, small organizations, and everything in between, including government organizations. I've been a team coach. I've spoken at conferences. I've run 6-month and 12-month team building programs, and I'm an executive coach, so that the experiences that I've had over the last 28 years help me to craft the ideas I share with you, and I know that they work because they've worked with many thousands of people that I've worked with over that journey. This show is also guided by Socrates' famous quote, "The unexamined life is not worth living." So I hope you watching this show or listening to this show on a podcast are provoked to examine your life so that you do have an examined life. You do live in an awakened state. And this week's show is talking about what that means, becoming more awake, raising your levels of consciousness. You can see I'm wearing my red jacket, red, the color of passion, so that it helps you remind yourself when you see red in your day-to-day living, you go, am I living my passion? Am I doing the work to discover my passion? Each week I explore one big idea rather than many ideas, because too many ideas confuse us. Too many ideas lead to no engagement. One idea a week that I consider can be of enormous assistance to you. I hope this show is of assistance to you. Within that one idea, I share some practical resources to then help you implement that idea. A song, a book, a quote, a spiritual tip, a health tip, and some humor. Life is not meant to be taken too seriously. So even though I get passionate, I think I approach my life with a comedic sense. This is all not to be taken too seriously. Maybe this is all a joke. Maybe God, if you believe in God, he's playing a joke on us. Anyway, I love comedy. This show is not politically correct, so if you need political correctness in your life, this is not the place to be. I'm certainly in favor of addictions, excellent addictions like my addiction to coffee and having great cups of coffee. Love it. And I subscribe to the view that we have soul, a spirit, a heart. So the human spirit is a core aspect of what this show is about. And particularly since my definition of passion is that it's a source of unlimited energy from your spirit, from your soul, from your heart, that enables you to produce extraordinary results. That's why passion's so important. So, before we get to the big idea, a quick review of the week. Well, this is the week in which the Olympics started in Tokyo with hardly any audiences, certainly indoor audiences. I was watching the bike race on Saturday, on the first day of competition, 237 kilometres, including 4,800 metres of climbing. So there are plenty of spectators on the road, but in the stadiums, no spectators. Strange way to have Olympics. The idea of the Olympics is an interesting one that says if all nations come together in sport, will that help to promote cooperation and reduce war? Well, it's pretty fair to say that there's less countries at war today than there have been. When you look at the data, less countries at war than there have been all the way through the 20th century. So the number of people in war conditions on the planet is pretty tiny as a percentage. So maybe the Olympics are playing a part in that. Maybe the leaders of countries that turn up at international sporting events are able to have a sensible conversation rather than going to war. Yesterday in Victoria and New South Wales, two states of Australia, for those of you not Australians, there were significant demonstrations against government lockdowns for coronavirus, for COVID-19 reasons. Lockdowns. You see, these politicians, what I'm very unhappy about is that they quote global health organizations when it suits them, ignore them when it doesn't. Well, the World Health Organization says lockdowns are only a last resort if the hospitals in your country cannot cope. Well, there are less than 10 people in intensive care units in Australia from coronavirus. So it is a nonsense. The whole idea of lockdowns is a madness. I think there's a hidden agenda behind it between making people controllable. It's nothing to do with solving the problem of coronavirus. And of course, this whole question of maintaining your equilibrium in tough times. Well, these lockdowns, this fifth lockdown in Victoria that was then extended last Tuesday for another week after being just for a five-day term, that makes it 12 days. This is destroying large numbers of lives. And it's destroying large numbers of lives for small numbers of cases in Australia. One of my friends is in Spain. I was on the phone to him last week. Spain has 30,000 cases a day. Everyone's getting on with it. No ridiculous masks and living life. We are in Australia and countries that have a lockdown. It is a shocking price we're paying. In the meantime, you'll be pleased to know that I am exercising every day, cycling, ignoring bullshit lockdown rules because they are bullshit. I say they are invalid, unconstitutional. And as a former practicing lawyer, but plenty of legal skills, you have great grounds for understanding that all of these rules imposed by politicians are in fact not valid, not constitutional. Now, to this week's big idea. Before I do, I invite you to visit our websites, coves.com for corporate programs, for public programs, and charlescoves.com for details of the self-awareness and passion quest. Subscribe to Passion Points to ponder on either of those sites. My books are available on those sites. You can contact me by email to ask me any questions, any thoughts that you have, any topics you'd like me to consider. Of course, if you are subscribed to this show either on YouTube or as a podcast, I'm grateful to you, and I would ask you to share the links to this show with your family, friends, colleagues. Now, today's big idea. Maintaining your equilibrium in tough times. Tough times mean you have problems. And Einstein said, no problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that created it. So how could you raise your level of consciousness and, more elegantly, solve your problems so that you are able to maintain your equilibrium? It's an interesting question. What does it mean to raise your consciousness? I'm going to give you some ideas, of course. But times are indeed tough for many people in our communities in Australia. And part of the problem is that probably 60% of the Australian population is not suffering. It's not tough for them. A little bit tough, but governments are handing out money left, right and centre. It's not tough for any public servants. No public servants have lost their jobs. No politicians have had a reduction of income. And the biggest companies in our society, many of them are doing very well. The big supermarket chains, the entertainment chains, not the arts and not the arts sector, but the suppliers of home entertainment, Harvey Norman, JB Hi-Fi, the building industry with lots of trade union mates. I calculate that 60% of the population in Australia, and I won't talk about other countries, but you can see that there are people doing well, but always the bureaucrats and the politicians are doing well. And so the politicians are behaving stupidly because they know that they're being supported by more than 50%. And that's how you get re-elected. Get more than 50% of the vote, bang, you're home free. But I say, those of you who are having a good time under lockdowns, outrageous freedom-depriving lockdowns, don't you feel so smug. Your descendants will suffer. There are consequences for unlimited deficit spending, unlimited government borrowing and handing out to people, and the destruction of young people's lives, of the impact on their education, on the impact of their socializing with their friends. These are people in their, you know, I have a 10-year-old daughter, people in their teens, in their 20s. They need that interaction with human beings, not being locked up. That is going to be such a price that Australian society and many societies will pay, that you who are smug about how comfortable life is for you at the moment, oh, it's okay, just put up with lockdown because we're saving you. Again, I say bullshit, because the deaths of despair are not being counted. And so today is about maintaining your equilibrium when you are feeling like despairing, when you are feeling like giving up hope. Because there are many in our society where that is the case. So what is equilibrium? You know, why would you maintain it? Well, equilibrium is being able to move forward in a nice, balanced, for you, a nice for you, in your unique way that you experience life, balanced way. It's like bike riding. And if you maintain your equilibrium on a bike, you're moving forward. If you stop on a bike, you fall over. It's quite an interesting idea, isn't it? And so on a bike, you're moving along, and then you get buffeted by different forces. And then you have to take evasive action about those forces. So to maintain equilibrium on a bike, when I'm going and suddenly there's a strong wind, I have to behave differently. If I go uphill, downhill, traffic, I want to maintain my equilibrium and not fall over. That's what I'm saying to you for your life. Maintain your equilibrium, maintain your progress, because progress is happiness. And then raise consciousness, or shift consciousness, so that you are more able to handle problems that hit you, the problems that unfairly hit you, where government decisions are unfairly hitting you. Because if you create your own problems, it's easier to handle than if somebody imposes those problems on you. So let's talk about how you shift your consciousness to handle problems better. And I've got seven practical techniques where you can shift consciousness to maintain equilibrium. Number one, examine where you sit on the fear versus love spectrum. Are you looking at your problems from a fear perspective or a love perspective? And fear, it comes from your mind. Love comes from your soul, your spirit, your heart. As you move, fear is a low level of consciousness. Love is a high level of consciousness. Love, when you come from love, enables you to expand. Fear makes you contract. Fear is mental. And I say that our politicians are imposing fear on you, are talking nonsense about this virus, about how dangerous it is. In fact, the New South Wales Health Minister, Kerry Chant, what an idiot she is. She came out and said, do not even speak to people in the supermarket who might even be your neighbour. This is so dangerous. What an idiot. If she was watching this, I would say to her, you are an idiot. So this fear that's wanting to be imposed on you by government so that you embrace this lockdown nonsense, that is a low level of consciousness. Come to love. One of the highest levels of consciousness is to say, I love these politicians, even though they're doing ridiculous, unjustified steps, unjustified actions. I love them. That changes your perspective. The second technique, adopt the Buddhist principle that all is well. I've recommended that book previously to you, All Is Well. Great spiritual teachers say, all is well. And just imagine that thought, that you're struggling, you've got no cash, hardly any food, not many friends, you can't see your friends. And you come from this perspective that says, all is well. It changes your experience. By the way, these techniques that I'm sharing with you are actually techniques that I use. So in preparing for today's show, I have thought, how do I handle tougher times? Well, this is what I do. This is not all of what I do because I don't want to overburden you, but these seven techniques are indeed what I do. The third technique is the benefits and drawbacks principle. That if you are running out of money, you can easily focus on the drawbacks. However, every experience that we have has an equal number, every bad experience has an equal number of benefits as drawbacks. And great experiences, when you look at all the benefits of a great experience, they have drawbacks, an equal number of drawbacks. The universe is in exquisite balance. And so when you see that, when you are struggling with where you are at, you maintain your equilibrium by saying, I wonder what the benefits are of these shitty times. The fourth technique is go to your personal library. Or if you haven't got a decent library, go to the library and get books that inspire you. If I'm feeling down in the dumps, I go to my library, I look at all the books that I've read, and I'm an avid reader, I've got a huge library, and I go, oh, wow. And I just look at the spine of the books. And I go, oh, and it takes me to a whole new space of how I'm observing my life. Or I might go to my library and I'll pick a book and I go, that's what I feel like reading. Pick a book that I feel like reading, sit down for 15 minutes and read a book that raises my consciousness, that takes my consciousness to a new level. And then 15 minutes later, I'm in a different space. The fifth technique is to contemplate what I'm grateful for. Gratitude for where I am in life right now. Our lives are so transient. 120 plus years. Not many people are going to live more than 120 years, although I am. I'm going to get to 120 years. This is such a tiny, tiny amount of time in universal time. Be grateful for what you are experiencing now, because it ties in with all is well. Okay, well then I'm grateful for this experience because I'm experiencing new things, new problems, and that's going to help me on my learning, development, progress journey. The sixth technique is to remind yourself of the purpose of your life, the meaning of your life. You've heard me in previous episodes talk about why passion is so important, because it gives you a clue to your purpose. You are here for a purpose. And so these problems that are throwing you off equilibrium are helping you to pursue your purpose. Find out how. And the seventh technique is to accept that all is well, but everything is transient. Change is inevitable. Whatever is happening now, it won't be the same in one day's time. Transient, our life, the experiences in life are so transient. So if you are having a shocking time right now, contemplate the thought that this too will pass. Transient is a wonderful way to not get so caught up in your problems that you think you'll never get out of this. Yes, you will, because life changes. So, life does change. And the book that I think will help you, a small book that will help you understand what more, even more deeply, what it means to raise your consciousness, to change your consciousness so that you can solve problems at a different level to where they came from for you, is by Don Miguel Ruiz, who also wrote The Four Agreements. This book is called The Mastery of Self. And the author says, this book is a masterclass on how to release false ideas about your reality. Dissolve outdated agreements that do not serve your true nature and step into your role as the passionate artist of your own life. Sounds good, eh? Then the song is by ABBA, The Winner Takes It All. And I want you to think about, when you're listening to the words of that song, what makes you a winner? You say, The Winner Takes It All. And this song in a shallow level is The Winner Takes It All. Yes, I want to be a winner, but there's a deep spiritual idea behind this song as well. And the part that I like is, the gods may throw a dice, their minds as cold as ice, and someone way down here loses someone dear. The winner takes it all, the loser has to fall. And in one sense, that's true at a particular moment in time. But then the loser who falls, going down in the dumps, then comes up. And this song, it helps you. You know, I hope it inspires you, because it does. Every time I hear it, the winner takes it all, and the gods are playing the game, and all is well. I just love the idea behind the song. The quote this week, of course, is by Einstein. And I say it again, no problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that created it. My joke, I was thinking in terms of consciousness, in spirituality, and so I thought I'd like this story, you know. One bright, beautiful Sunday morning, everyone in the tiny town of Johnstown got up early and went to the local church. Remember those days when you could go to the church when there wasn't a lockdown? Before the service started, the townspeople were sitting in their pews and talking about their lives, their families. Suddenly, Satan appeared at the front of the church. Everyone started screaming and running for the front entrance, trampling each other in a frantic effort to get away from the evil incarnate. Soon, everyone had left the church except for one elderly gentleman who sat calmly in his pew. See, sitting calmly in your pew when everyone else is crapping their decks. That's the way you maintain your equilibrium. And this guy was not moving, seemingly oblivious to the fact that God's ultimate enemy is in his presence. Now, this confused Satan a bit. So he walked up to the man and said, "Hey, don't you know who I am?" The man replied, "Yep, sure do." Satan asked, "Aren't you afraid of me?" "Nope, sure ain't," said the man. Satan was a little perturbed at this and queried, "Why aren't you afraid of me?" The man calmly answered, "I've been married to your sister for 25 years." Love it. Outrageous. My spiritual tip is to remind you to do the gratitude exercise. So, to maintain equilibrium, I recommend doing the gratitude exercise every day. That means writing out 10 things in your life for which you are grateful. You can do it as you're lying in bed when you wake up. What are you grateful for? My health tip. I invite you to raise your awareness around what you're putting in your mouth in the amount of chemicals. And I have no long-term confidence that our existing financial and business systems will continue. And so I think there's going to be local communities with local economies. And I think one of the benefits of that is going to be the ability to get locally grown food, fruit, vegetables, meat. And so contemplate the chemicals you put in your mouth, what you eat. Think about having organic food, more organic food. Well, that's it for this week. Contemplate this picture in your mind of maintaining your equilibrium as you embrace all of the challenges that all of us have to face. Use these 7 techniques to help you raise your level of consciousness to handle these problems. And remember that your reward as a human being for solving your problems is bigger problems. So that's the other big overarching idea, that if you look at your ability to solve problems, all you're going to do is get bigger problems. I think that's an exciting idea, because you then will always be progressing, because you'll be getting better and better and better. I again invite you to visit our websites, coves.com, charlescoves.com. Subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to Passion Points to Ponder. If you have any questions or suggestions, send me an email. And until next week, may your life be full of passion, full of challenge, full of excellent equilibrium, where you sail through life grateful for this experience of life as you are discovering and pursuing your passionate journey. Thanks for being with us. I look forward to being with you next week. Bye.